If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd ask you to turn, please, to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm 119, and to the verse number 97 for our Bible reading this morning. Psalm 119, beginning our reading at the verse number 97. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much, quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes, always, even unto the end. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 112, and we pray that God will bless this reading of God's eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. Now, as has been announced, and today, this morning, God willing, we want to speak upon the subject of the EU referendum and what saith the scriptures. Before we come to that matter, let us just bow, please, in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray now that thou would bless us as we come to thy word, Lord, as we come, O God, to consider this subject. We pray that thou would lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit. Bring our hearts and our minds, O God, into captivity to the will of God, to the mind of Christ. And Lord, thou hast promised that the entrance of thy word bring of light. We pray that even in this important matter that faces our nation at this time, that thou would lead us and guide us aright as a people in accordance with thy word. Use thy word today to build up thy people in their most holy faith. Use it, O God, to the conversion of souls. Use it, O God, to the glorifying of thy name. O Lord, empty me of self and of sin. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. And give grace and wisdom and enablement, Lord, as thou alone can give, to preach thy word this day and bless thy truth to every heart. We ask it all in our Saviour's great name. Amen. And amen. Now, if you look at verse 105 there, of that passage of Scripture we read, Psalm 119, you see the psalmist testifies and he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And by those words, it really tells of God's word having a guiding and, if you like, a directing influence in his life and in all that concerns him. Dear people, this morning, whenever it comes to the EU referendum in our nation on June the 23rd this year, can I say also today that God's word ought also to be the guide regarding this most momentous of decisions, perhaps the most momentous of decisions that our nation has ever faced in all of its history as the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Yes, in all the debate around this issue, and I'm sure you've been listening to it as I have, people's main concern is about money. It's about finance. And the question upon many people's lips and hearts and minds is simply this: will we be better off financially if we stay within the EU, Or if we leave the EU, how will we fare? Well, on that issue, let me say this, that God's word has a warning, a very strong warning regarding those who are ruled and who are controlled by a love of money. Indeed, God says in his word, he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And there God's word tells us and shows us that choices that are made because of a love for money always reap a sorrowful harvest. They always reap sad repercussions. Child of God, let me say this in this referendum. You and I are not to be manipulated by the propaganda of the world, the propaganda of the media, the propaganda of ungodly politicians. No. We are to be guided by the Lord. And we're to be guided by the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, God says to his people, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There in those two amazing verses, God promises to be our guide when we seek him in prayer and when we yield to his word and when we yield to his truth. And dear people, let me say this. The Bible gives overwhelming evidence as to why the United Kingdom should leave the European Union. And it is that evidence that I want to set before you from the scriptures this morning, as God would enable us and as God would help us. First of all, we can say this morning that Britain should leave the EU because EU membership is no substitute for a nation's trust in God. In Psalm 146, in the verse number 3, God says in his word, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. And there we are instructed that as a nation, we are to trust in God. We're not to trust in man or rely on man. We're to trust in God. And God promises to bless the people, the nation, that trusts him. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, in the verse number 1, it says, and it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God will set thee on high above the nations of the earth. Those words, yes, were in the context of Israel of old, but they also can be applied to every nation and to every people upon God's earth that God has created. Sadly, during the 20th century and this 21st century, within the kingdom of Britain, of Great Britain and United Kingdom as a nation, sadly there has been a great departure from God. And by that departure from God became very evident in the liberal and the decadent age of the 1960s and the early 1970s, just prior to Britain joining what was then known as the EEC, the European Economic Community. Now, by that particular time, the historical Protestant work ethic of Britain, by and large, was gone. And the nation at that time was beset with economic turmoil and industrial strikes. That was the order of the day. Thus, in the hope of some economic recovery and some economic stability, Britain at that time, she joined the European Common Market back in the year 1973. Then in 1975, she voted to remain within that union. Therefore, instead of depending upon God for national recovery and national prosperity, Britain by and large was now a nation that was dependent upon man. Through its membership of the EEC, the European Economic Community, which is now known as the European Union. Dear people, one of the main arguments at this particular time for us to remain within the EU is that of economic strength and economic prosperity. Let me say this, as a nation, we are not to depend upon man for blessing our prosperity. We are, as a people, to rely upon the Lord. And God, in many cases in His Word, He promises to bless the nation. He promises to bless the people that honor Him, that obey Him. In Psalm 144, in the verse 15, God says they're happy. And that word happy can literally be translated blessed. If you like, happy or blessed is that people whose God is the Lord. And my God blesses the nation. God blesses the people who trust in Him. And dear believer in Christ, rest assured this morning that membership of the EU is no substitute for our trust in God as a people and as a nation. But secondly, this morning, as we move on, we want also to say today that Britain should leave the EU. For membership is contrary to God's order for proper border controls. Can I say this morning that it is God's will that the peoples of this world, that they observe the borders of the nations? You see that from Scripture. If you turn your Bible back this morning to Numbers chapter 20 and to Numbers chapter 21, and here you see how Moses and Israel of old, how they respected the borders of Edom and the Amorites, even those who were their enemies as they traveled through to the Promised Land. Moses observed the boundaries, the borders of these nations, because he knew that they were ordained of God. You go back to Numbers chapter number 20 and the verse number 17. You'll see this here as Moses speaks here to the king of Edom. He says in Numbers 20, verse 17, he says, "Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields nor through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go up by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders." He respected the borders of Edom. Even though Edom was an enemy of Israel, he still respected the borders of that nation. Go on over there to Numbers chapter 21 and the verse number 21 and 22 of that chapter. You'll see the same with regard to the Amorites, who again were enemies of Israel. It says, "And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, Let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields nor into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders." And Moses, there you see, respected the borders, the boundaries of these nations that were before him as he journeyed towards the Promised Land, the land of the Canaanites. You think of what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14. He says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark." And in the context of our message this morning, those words really mean that we are to respect the borders of the nations of the world that God has appointed and God has decreed. Now let us understand this morning what the EU is all about. The EU is all about the removal of national boundaries and national borders. That's one of its goals. EU membership, it means that 450 million people have automatic right of access into the United Kingdom. It is projected by those that are involved in statistics that Britain's population will rise at least 500,000 yearly, rising in the year 2030 to over 73 million people. And that, if that happens, that will make the United Kingdom one of the most crowded countries in all of the world. In the year that has gone, 2015, over 250,000 people, approximately 257,000 that they know about, come into United Kingdom from the EU. And that's what they know, that's what they have on their radar. And people, the large-scale migration of people within the EU, it makes border controls difficult, to say the least, or non-existent. And this in turn will present huge economic difficulties for our nation. It will pressurize the country's public services and put pressure upon its infrastructure. It will also cause vast areas of our nation to undergo a cultural transformation. In other words, large areas of Britain will undergo complete demographic change by the peoples that are coming in. Yes, child of God, you and I have a responsibility to love our neighbour and to care for our neighbour. Yes, we have a responsibility to help those who are in need. But at the same time, our government has a responsibility to put the needs of its own citizens first. And my that responsibility is greatly undermined by the lack of proper border controls within the European Union. My, it makes border controls virtually impossible. But in the third place, as we move on this morning, we want also to say that Britain should leave the EU because its financial obligations are completely contrary to the teaching of the Scriptures. Over in Proverbs chapter number 11 and the verse number 15, God has something very important to say about this matter. He says, "He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it." And that word surety, it really means to act, if you like, as a financial guarantor. The word smart there in that verse, it literally means broken. And what God is saying, what he is warning is this: if we take on the financial liabilities for someone or some people over which we have no control, God is warning here. He says, we are liable to suffer loss. We are liable to be broken. As we would say in modern day language, we are liable to bankruptcy as a people and as a nation. Therefore God says, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. In other words, it is unwise for any individual or for any nation to take on the financial liabilities of another person or another nation over which they have no control or no say. Now, can I say this morning that the cost of the EU membership for Britain is approximately $14.3 billion per year, per annum. And of that amount, Britain only receives back 50%. And with this giving here to the EU, British assets are being used to shore up the debts and indeed the failing economies of other nations in Europe and in the Union of Europe, over which she has no control in the running of those nations. You think back to a few years ago here in our own island, whenever the Irish economy failed in the recession of 2008 and 2009, Britain had to contribute vast amounts of wealth to shore up and to prop up the Irish economy. And also because the British economy was doing well in 2014, she had to contribute an additional $1.7 billion to the European budget, all for the purpose of acting as a financial guarantor to other nations whose economies are falling or economies are failing, just to shore them up. And people, such financial practice is completely contrary to the teaching of God's word. My God's word shows it is foolish for any person, any nation, to assume the financial obligations and liabilities of others over which they have no control whatsoever in their financial matters. In Proverbs chapter 6 verses 1 and 8, God says, "If thou be surety, thou art snared by the words of thy mouth." Therefore, by remaining within the European Union, the Kingdom of United Kingdom of Britain and Northern Ireland is allowing itself to be snared by the financial obligations of the European Union. Yes, its obligations are contrary to Scripture's financial obligations. But fourthly, this morning, as we move on, we want also to say that Britain should leave the European Union because its constitution, that's the constitution of the European Union, is something that is completely contrary to Britain's Bible-based constitution. The European Union's constitution of 2004 has no reference whatsoever to the triune God of heaven. It has no reference whatsoever to the Christian faith. Rather, it says, and I quote, "The cultural, religious, and humanist inheritance of Europe, from which have developed the universal values of the inviolable and inalienable rights of the human person, freedom, democracy, equality, and the rule of law." And those words really portray that secular culture and humanism are the main contributing factor to the civilization of Europe. That's really what they mean. And what is humanism? What is secularism? It is really man and indeed peoples and nations living without God as if God does not exist. If you study history, you'll see most certainly that it was humanism and secularism that led to the awful barbarity of the French Revolution. And also they contributed to two bloody world wars that were mostly fought on European soil. And people, it's also important to note that the Roman Catholic system of Antichrist has a very strong influence and veto within the European Union and the laws that it makes. It is a very strong influence there in the whole system. And presently, plans are being made to fast-track Europe, or fast-track Turkey, into the European Union with its population of some 75 million Muslims. And my, whenever that happens, Turkey will be the largest country within the European Union. And no doubt the Muslim system of Antichrist, which is to the fore in that country, will also have a very large say and influence over the whole Union of Europe. You can be sure of that. If you study the history of Turkey, you'll see that it has a very bad track record on human rights. To this very day, as a people and as a nation, the Turkish government, she denies the mass genocide of Armenian and Assyrian and Greek Christians in the year 1915. It was really forgotten about in all the conflict of the First World War. And during that period, it is estimated, and these are conservative estimates, that at least 1.5 to 3 million people were either murdered or deported to the desert regions. And presently, to the very day, Turkey denies that. And if anybody within its borders raises an objection to that, they face prosecution or imprisonment, such is the law in Turkey at this present time. You think of that, dear people. Think of the constitution of the European Union. And you contrast that with that of Great Britain. Yes, within our constitution, there is at least, dear people, an acknowledgement of God, the God of heaven of whom we were singing about earlier, and an acknowledgement of God's word and God's laws and God's truth. You think back to the oath that our Queen made, and this is what she swore in her coronation oath, and I quote, she said, "To do the utmost of her power to maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel." That was one of the oaths that she made at her coronation. Now you can understand why there's so many today wanting to get away, do away with the coronation oath, because it refers to God and his word and his truth and the gospel. You think about that. Think of what the Lord himself said in Matthew 4 verse 4 when he spoke of God's word, and he says, "Man shall live by bread alone," not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You think about that, and surely we can say that the nation or the people that turns its back upon God and upon his word, that nation or that people does so to its peril. My, the constitution of the European Union is all about the promotion of humanism and secularism, that which is contrary to God and his word. I know missionaries labouring in the land of France are not Free Presbyterian missionaries. But they'll tell you how difficult it is in the land of France to profess to be a Christian, to labour for God, such as the restrictions that is put upon it by the government there that is secularist and humanist. And you can multiply that all throughout Europe, where the European Union holds sway. Yes, Britain should leave the EU because its constitution is contrary to Britain's Bible-based constitution. But also we can say further this morning that Britain should leave the EU because membership of the EU, it does not guarantee peace among the nations. You see, the Bible would show us that any nation's peace, and indeed any nation's well-being and absence of war, is all linked to its relationship with God and God's Word. You turn back there to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verses 2 to 6. Here you see that one of the consequences of Asa's godly reign was peace in the land, peace in the nation. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verses 2 down to verse 6. Notice what it says. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land to rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. There, one of the consequences of Asa's godly reign in Judah and turning the nation back to God was peace, quietness in the land. The Lord, we're told, gave the land and the people rest. Now, one of the main arguments for staying within the EU at this particular time, but those who are for that, is that it has helped maintain peace in Europe since the end of the Second World War. We know that unity is no guarantee of peace whatsoever. For from the year 1943 right through to 1992, the former Yugoslavia was an alliance of nations that ended with the horrific and bloody conflict of the Balkans in the early 1990s, of which those of you who are older will remember just over 20 years ago. It was a horrific conflict, a bloody conflict. And that alliance of nations there within the former Yugoslavia broke up. So that alliance did not prevent war from happening on that occasion. Dear people, membership within the EU will not guarantee us freedom from war. Yes, war is only less likely or less liable when hearts are transformed and when a nation is made righteous through the grace of God and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this sinful and fallen world, yes, there may be times when war, even in a righteous and a godly nation, is unavoidable. But war in itself is only less likely and less liable when a nation is righteous before God through God's grace, through the gospel of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 2, in the verse number 14, we have there, or verse number 4 rather, we have there highlighted for us the peace that Christ and the gospel brings to troubled nations and to troubled hearts in this world. And this is what that verse says about the Lord. It says, and he shall judge among the nations, and he shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And those words will be fulfilled to the letter whenever our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns in power and in great glory. But they also highlight for us the great effect of the gospel upon hearts that have been ungodly. When people hear the gospel and respond to the gospel and repent of their sin and trust in the blood of Christ alone for salvation, they know peace with God in their soul, and by God's grace are enabled also to live at peace with others. And dear people, true peace only comes through the gospel, through Christ, not through the League of Nations are the unions of men. But also we can say in the final place this morning that Britain should leave the EU because membership is contrary to God's ordained institution of nations. Listen to what God says in his word in Deuteronomy 32 in the verse number 8. It says there, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now you see very clearly from that verse that along with Israel, God has ordained the independent existence of all nations. God is one who has set national bounds and national borders and boundaries. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, Paul says, God have made of one blood all nations. And then he said this, and have determined the bounds of their habitation. Nations are appointed by God. You remember back to the building of the Tower of Balaam. What did God do? He scattered them. And they were given different languages to speak. And he scattered them. He made boundaries of the nations. And dear people, as we've already said, the EU is all about doing away with national boundaries. Not only doing away with national borders, but also it's about doing away with national sovereignty of a land, of a nation. That which is contrary to God. It's all about eroding the sovereignty of our own nation, of our own kingdom. Many of the laws that are now being enacted that we have to abide by in our society have come in through the European Union. And laws are being regulated day by day for our land and for our nation, taking away the sovereignty of our land and of our nation. Plans are afoot within the European Union to do away with the right of habeas corpus. What is that? Something that is fundamental to our judiciary and our legal system, which really means that a person is innocent in a court of law until they are proven guilty. Something that has been in our laws for centuries. They want to do away with that. The European Union also wants to do away with trial by jury. And jury again is a great safeguard to a fair trial in our legal system. They want that to be done away with and be replaced by a judge or a group of judges who are easily persuaded or may have their own mindset about a decision that has to be made. They also want to bring in a European army where soldiers and services from our own realm will no longer be under the sovereignty of our own government and our own queen, but will be under the behest of the European Union. These are some of the things that are afoot to do away with the nation's sovereignty. It's all about doing away with the border and the sovereignty of our nation. And dear people, in essence, the EU is but an embryo of the end time system of Antichrist that will rise prior to the Lord's return. The Bible shows us that that system will be marked by a league of 10 nations that will center around the ancient Roman Empire. Turn over to Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 15. Or you'll see that for yourself. Revelation 17 and rather the verse number 12. It says, and the 10 horns which thou swearest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And that speaks of the end time system of Antichrist, made up of 10 nations. What will be the character of this system? It will be marked by economic power and wealth. Turn over to Revelation chapter number 8, or 18 rather, Revelation 18 and the verse number 3. Look at what is said there in that verse about the system of Antichrist. It says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Those final words, they speak of economic power and economic wealth, and that will be one of the marks of the end time system of Antichrist. This system will also be led by someone who will set themselves up as God and who will be worshipped as God. You go over to Revelation 13 and the verse number 8. Look at what the Bible says about them. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth, notice it, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Antichrist, the person who leads this system, will be worshipped by men, adored by men. You go back to 2 Thessalonians in the chapter number 2 and verses 3 and 4, you'll see there how he will set himself up as God, and he will oppose God and all that is of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 3 and 4, and here Paul is speaking about the coming of Christ. He says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," that's the day of the Lord, "shall not come, except there come a falling away first," that means apostasy, departure from God, and notice it, "and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition," the Antichrist, notice his character, "who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now you have the character of the one who will lead this end time system. Can I say also that the Antichrist in a system will oppose God's people and all that is of God? You go back to Revelation 17, you'll see that. Look at verse number 13 of Revelation 17 and the beginning of verse number 14. It speaks of these nations that are in league with the end time system of Antichrist. Verse 13 of Revelation 17 says, "These have one mind, and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast. These," notice it, "shall make war with the Lamb." That speaks of making war not just with Christ, but with God's people. And all that concerns God and all that concerns is where they shall make war with the Lamb. You see, that system is a system of Antichrist. It's all against God. It's all against Christ. It's all against God's people. It's all against the Word of God. But praise God, the Antichrist and all his people will be overcome when Christ comes back again in power and in great glory. Look at Revelation 17 there, and the latter part of verse number 14. It says, "Yes, these shall make war with the Lamb," and it says, "and the Lamb," that is Christ, "shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." And all the powers of darkness will be overcome when our Savior returns again, dear people, in power and in great glory. And Christ is coming back again. And dear people, what is God's message to his people regarding the system of Antichrist? What is God's message to you and I who are saved by the grace of God regarding that system? Turn over there to Revelation chapter 18 and the verse number 4, and you'll see God's message to his people, to his church. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues." And that speaks of God's judgment upon the system of Antichrist. God says to his people, "Come out of her, my people." My God's message to his people always regarding evil and sin, wherever it is to be found, is separation. Come out of her, my people. Brethren and sisters in Christ, leaving the EU is certainly necessary for us as a nation, but it is no cure for the ills of our own nation. Our own nation, yes, to know God's blessing in a mighty way. What do we need today? Not just a leaving of the EU, we need a nationwide revival, a turning to God and true repentance from sin and a turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith alone for salvation. That is the ultimate need of our land, of our nation. The Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And dear child of God, I encourage you today to earnestly pray daily for revival. Dear people of God, that's one of the reasons, one of many reasons why we should always do what we can to be at the public place of prayer, to pray for revival for our land, for our nation. Turning your Bible back there to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Look at what God's word says there in verse number 14. God here is speaking to his own people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. He says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Think of the great victory for our nation at Dunkirk in the early days of World War II when Britain's back was against the wall. There was a nation at prayer, a nation seeking God, a nation calling upon God, and God heard the cries of his people. Oh, let us daily pray for revival. As God's people also, let us seek to live day by day to the glory of God as his people, and do all we can in this end age in which we live to spread the gospel, the word of God. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." He did all he could within his day to spread the gospel. And I believe one of the goals of the EU is to suppress the gospel, to hide the light of the gospel, the light of God's truth. And dear friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, if you're still unsaved in this gathering, then the all-important matter for you today is to be saved. Saved from your sin. Saved from a lost eternity in hell. Brought out of the devil's kingdom. Delivered from the ruin of your sin. That way is by you repenting of your sins. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Come by faith to Christ, rest in his atoning blood alone to wash away your sin and to save your soul. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. Come by faith to Christ. Trust him. Rest upon his finished work alone for your salvation. Know what it is to be brought out of the devil's kingdom, brought into God's kingdom, into God's family. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, that is received Christ, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let us bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us here in thy house this morning. And Lord, our prayer is that thou will take thy word, thy truth, that which has been of thee, write it indelibly and apply it effectively, Lord, to our hearts. Help us, Lord, as thy people to be like the men of Issachar of old, who had wisdom, who had understanding, who knew what Israel ought to do in this matter, Lord, of the EU referendum, and indeed in all matters that concern us as God's people. O Lord, help us to be directed by thee, to yield to thee, to thy word and to thy truth, that we might walk and live in the ways of God. O Lord, have mercy upon us as a land, as our nation. Lord, we confess that we do not deserve the least of thy mercies. Yet, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Pour out thy Spirit, O God, upon us. And Lord, may we live to see days of revival, days of quickening. And help us, Lord, as thy people, even in this end time age, to be faithful, Lord, to thee, until thou dost come, or until thou dost call us home to glory. And Lord, for any in this meeting today and they're not saved, young or old, O God, give them grace today to repent of their sins, to turn by faith to Christ, and accept him and trust him as their own and personal Savior. Part us now with thy fear and favor. Take us to our separate homes in safety. Bless in the meeting this afternoon and the testimony meeting here tonight. Visit with thy salvation, and grant thy blessing upon each and every heart and life, as thou would see the need. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen and amen.